You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't done so yet, we want to encourage you to check out Plus Membership on newchurches.com for coaching, templates, and exclusive content. Well, before we get into the question for today from a guy in Ireland, actually, we wanted to read out one of our reviews. So this one was submitted by Matt Portman, and he, the title was Tremendous Resource, like R-E-Z.
I wonder like why would somebody say that, Daniel?
Yeah, that's right. Why would they do that?
I don't know. Why would they say resources?
Yeah. So with 5 stars, this is what he said. This is an excellent resource for churches looking to move to a multi-site strategy, as well as potential church planners. I've listened and re-listened to almost every episode because the content's so great. I don't want to miss a thing. It has sparked several crucial conversations as my church looks to send me as the campus pastor of our first multi-site location this year. Keep up the great work. I'm always looking forward to the newest content every week.
Boom.
Well, thanks, Matt, for leaving that review for us on iTunes. If you haven't done so yet, please log on to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. It does help others discover the podcast. So Matt, why don't you hit me up on Twitter or send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, and we will send you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen and a bunch of stickers.
Stickers not like those. Except yeah. For his kids?
No, not the scratch and sniff stickers.
My kids love stickers.
Yeah, those are awesome. But
they'll fight over stickers.
Yeah, pretty neat New Churches one. So neat. I don't know. That sounds like I'm a geek. Anyways, let's get to the question.
Hey, wait, who am I?
What who are you? Doing? You're Todd.
You haven't introduced me.
Well, everyone knows who you are. We're in episode.
I'm your favorite.
Episode
co-host.
42.
I'm yes. Your favorite.
Yes,
co-host.
My favorite. The one who doesn't interrupt the intro.
What?
You which can't I'm tell happy. Me. I'm happy that you don't interrupt it.
Okay. Because
everyone complains that Ed does.
He does.
Yeah. It's pretty annoying.
It's on a strength finder.
Yeah. Is annoying one of his top five?
Yeah. And ministry of interruption.
Hi, I'm Mike Neglia. I'm the lead pastor of Calvary Cork in the Republic of Ireland. For the past year or so, our Sunday morning attendance has hovered around 100 adults. But in recent months, our numbers have grown to about 120 or 130. Our building is full. People are standing at the back for service. And so it seems like it's time to go to two services. The complicating factor is historically and up until the present, we've had a hard time finding enough volunteers to staff our Sunday school and our creche. My question is it a good idea to go to two services while we only have enough volunteers to do Sunday school and creche and kids ministry at one of those services? Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike, for submitting that question. I don't know if I offended you by saying Ireland, because you said the Republic of Ireland.
Well, and I was thinking he was going to sound Irish.
That's true.
And I was like, this guy's a poser. Where's he from? He's from Ireland. Is that like a...
America, Ireland.
Yeah. Is that like a town in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Like, what's up there?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Mike? First of all, it's a great problem to have.
Praise ye the Lord.
Because there are so many people who wish they had that problem. So, you know, when you think of the idea of going to two services, when you only have enough volunteers for one of those services, I mean, obviously we would love to actually have you on here to ask you a few more questions to learn about your situation. But first of all, I would say, you know, read up on change management. You know, if you haven't read John Cotter's Leading Change, that would be, I mean, that really is the go-to textbook on leading an organization, including churches, through change.
I would also say Stanley Communicating for a Change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's a little bit more towards preaching, right?
It is. But in my opinion, mm-hmm. part of what you have here is a conviction and culture problem.
Boom.
Yes, I appreciate us immediately going to the constructs, the structure and systems and process piece, because that's what I love.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody has to understand that, you know, celebrating growth is a major milestone mm-hmm. here, but also it's casting the vision, you know, not for a second service. It's casting vision for, we need you. We need your, we are growing because of you. And now we need you to grow with us.
Yeah.
So it really is, hey, you can't, you cannot reach spiritual maturity apart from using your gifts in service to Christ. So it's time to serve. It's time to step up and serve. And so, you know, part of that is, it is having systems and structures in place so that you can adequately train, equip, and, you know, release those people to do ministry. So, I mean, you know, we certainly, I live personally to develop resources for churches to do that. So I would say check out Ministry Grid, of course.
Yeah.
Because whether or not you're talking about ushers, parkers, greeters, or people to do your children's training, whatever, we've certainly got content on there for that. And that's broken up into different learning pathways.
Yeah.
So there's a pathway for people that are brand new. There's a pathway for people that are more experienced. And then there's a pathway for even staff level training and development in the preschool space, kids space, men's, women's, I mean, you name it. And we've developed that content. So I think that's a big piece. Other than that, I would say, man, you just got to preach your way through this and give people really an appetite for moving. I mean, obviously, it's causing some discomfort already because if people are standing in the back, there's a discomfort level there. They're only going to do that for so long. So I would say, yes, first of all, you have to move to a second service. But second, it is deciding what you're going to have in that second service. So maybe reducing the scope of what you have or reducing the scope of what you have in the previous service. If there are ancillary ministries that aren't core and critical, if there are affinity groups or things like that, I would say kill those so that you have enough volunteers, because everything costs you something. Yeah. All volunteer ministries require some energy and effort. And if you just have to decide,
Yeah, I like
what you're going to focus on.
Yeah, that's good. Let me loop back around a couple of the points you made. I'll start backwards. What you said about training, right? The you brought up our example of Ministry Grid. The thing that prevents individuals from stepping up to lead, obviously there's the conviction side of things. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that right after this point. But really the second point is training, right? And it's not only an individual saying, hey, I don't know how to lead Sunday school class, or I don't know how to lead youth or children. You know, there's obviously that. But then on the other hand, it's, you know, do they see a clear path for them to get trained and to lead at your church, right? So it really is a two-way street. So what I would recommend, Mike, is that you check out Ministry Grid, because there's fantastic content at every level for every one of your ministries. And that's such an easy way to get people trained up. It's digital, it's online, they can do it at any time they want. So definitely check that out. But also, and we do have job descriptions as well for you to use. It's Word docs, you can rip it apart or use it as is. So that's definitely a resource for you to check out, and we'll have that in the show notes. But definitely consider even communicating to your congregation, hey, we do have a plan to train you. We do have a plan to develop you. And because people love that, right? People love being able to have that system and have that support for them to be able to really thrive and minister in the way that God has called them to. So let's rewind just a little bit more to that first point you said, Todd, about constructs. Conviction, I mean. The reason why conviction is so important is because there is, Mike, there is a narrative at your church about size. There's a story that people believe, and maybe you didn't teach them, but it's something that it's the aura, the ethos that's going around. And maybe there's a story of, hey, I like it the way it is right now, or I like my Sunday school class the way it is.
There's always going to be that contingent.
Yeah.
Whether you want to call them the Back to Egypt Club or yeah, or whatever, they're always going to be there. One of the things I don't think I've mentioned on this podcast is Napoleon's laws of thirds.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I've already
in one of the previous episodes. And okay, we can link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, do that. Do that. So it's basically a third will always be ready for change. A third are waiting to see what happens. And the other third are always going to be opposed to change.
Yeah.
But we actually process that. And that is a true thing. You can go back and listen to that and find that. But that group is always going to be with you.
Yeah. And that's a story, right? That's a narrative. That's something. And for some of those people, those Back to Egypt Club people, I mean, they may be so invested into the church and as leaders that they're the ones that may, even though they're only a third, they may have the influence amongst the others because they might be the influencers.
Well, and you know, there's usually a vocal minority.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Situation going on there as well. So always keep that in mind. Usually the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease and everybody knows that, but it's not necessarily what will get you to where you need to go.
Yeah, so our encouragement would be, hey, what would it look like for you to create a new narrative, create a new story, create opportunities so that your church understands, hey, you know what? I mean, it's uncomfortable that there's standing room only. It's uncomfortable that we're going to, you know, things are going to change because there are the steps to change in Leading Change by John Cotter. But I mean, walk people through that, you know, talk to the influencers, have, you know, meet them one-on-one, see who they are to be able to help move the congregation so that when you communicate and say, hey, we are going to go to the second service, it's not the first time people heard about it.
There's another book it's a secular book. It's a business book. And so you may not want to read the whole thing, but at least I would say pick it up and thumb through it or buy the executive summary. And that's Story Wars. Mm. Because in that situation, that's what you're doing. It's like, who has the most compelling story? Good. The other thing is having a clear vision. Is vitally important, clear, consistent, and something that is calling them out.
Yeah, it has to be compelling, right? I mean, you can't just say, hey, we're going to start another service because we need more seats. Yeah, we're out of room. That's not a compelling story, right? But it's, hey, we're going to start another service because God's doing something here. Right? The Holy Spirit is moving. He is moving in our neighborhood. More people are coming. We need to be able to reach out and make room for those who are far from God.
Like this family.
Yeah.
And then give an example that family in, you know, in your church that people all know.
Yeah. And how they've come.
Absolutely.
And have experienced life change.
More powerful than a personal story.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. Whether it's Acts 26, Paul before Agrippa, or it's you telling your story today. There's never anything that's more powerful than a personal story.
Yeah. So our encouragement would be, yes, definitely start another service. But hey, you know what, Mike, think about the idea of minimum viable product, right? So when you start your second service, don't start it to be exactly identical with all the exact same programming that your existing service has, because part of it is you're saying that is the barrier that you know, you said that you don't have enough volunteers to do Sunday school, youth and children, all that at the second service. So what would the minimum viable product be for you to start a second service, right? Maybe it's a service that you're saying, hey, we're going to start 2 hours later or before the service. Hey, if you have, and maybe you start it without children's ministry at first, right? And you communicate that to your church. The other principle is, you know, and here, this really is a principle, Mike, people will rise up when there's a need.
Yep.
Right. You have people in your church who will lead, who can lead the various ministries, but they are not stepping up because they don't see a need.
That's true. So every campus we did, every new campus we rolled out, it was always how are we going to have enough volunteers? Because we would always do an overlay of, you know, nearby zip codes and what volunteers we had and what ministries and who we were going to tap and ask to come and, you know, all that. But at the end of the day, you would have these leaders that would come out of nowhere and you're like, where have you been? How long have you been attending this church? For 5 years? That's insane. And it's a travesty that you weren't engaged in ministry. And 9 out of 10 of them would say every single time, they would say, it was because I didn't know there was a need. I didn't know. You know, just looking around, I thought you had plenty of volunteers or you knew. And it doesn't matter how many times you get up in front of the congregation and ask broadly. At the end of the day, you've got to make personal asks. So that's you asking, and that's also your leaders practicing that same principle, because there's no way you can get to know everybody in your church when it's 120. You can know of them, but to truly know them. So people have a desire to know and to be known. And so that's where you really got to start putting layers of leadership in place, similar to, you know, a Jethro Moses kind of principle.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you go to newchurches.com and there's a right bar that says submit voicemail. If you have any questions about leadership, church planting, multi-site, multiplication, church ministry, I mean, Todd and I with Ed, I mean, we have decades of ministry experience combined. So we would love to help in any way we can. So submit your questions and we will answer them on the podcast. See you next time.